We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran and from the holy city of Qom. And I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program today is going to be speaking about or talking or discussing about the philosophy of evils. But I'd like to make a brief recap of what we discussed last week, which was on the concepts of justice from the theme of principles of belief. And we said that justice is defined as putting things into their proper order. It's not similar to equality. It just means that things have to be put as they deserve or ought to be deserved to be put in a particular order of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything by one order and through wisdom. And that's very important because wisdom and justice go hand in hand. So therefore, this is a very important quality through which we understand that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe. And of course, and created us as well. And at the end of the day, we were talking about the answers to why people have certain qualities. For example, some people are beautiful, others are ugly, others are born disabled, others are born healthy. The scholar and sheikh who spoke about this particular point, he says that it's not an easy question to answer for many philosophers. People have thought deeply about these things, but the answer is not absolutely clear as to why these things happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, why should such things occur in this world? But we hope that in this particular session, when we talk about the philosophy of evils, we will try to get a better idea or perhaps a taste of why certain things happen with certain human beings in this world. And maybe that may help to for us to conclude a particular answer. But we'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. There will be an email subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you feel you want to make any contribution to the program. I have once again the honor and pleasure on this particular theme that we have been discussing over the last few weeks with Sheikh Dr. Muhammad Agha Muhammadi from the Holy Seminaries of Qom. A very warm welcome to you, sir, and thanks very much for being on the program.
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi al-Tahirin. Salamu alaykum to you and to all brothers and sisters watching this program all around the world.
Alaykum salam, and thanks very much for that, Sheikh. Now, tell us, please, philosophy of evils. This is a very, I think, it says a lot in three words what we are really talking, because you did mention from our last session that there is this concept of something being harmful, something being evil. And of course, you know, as the world we see around us, a lot of evil things are happening. And, you know, we see evils in moral behavior, in natural behavior. Why is this so? I mean, define for us particularly this particular subject and what it entails in terms of, you know, what we were talking previously about Allah's justice and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't directly interfere in the affairs of man, which we couldn't answer, unfortunately, because of the lack of time in the previous session. But I hope you can clarify this idea as well, that the need for prayer, the need for supplication, the need for us to appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with the evil that we see around us, to give us relief from this. Because we find many stories and many events, I shouldn't even say the word stories, but many events, because Allah speaks the truth. about particular individuals in history, in the Holy Quran, in the scripture, that they were facing very, very bad situations, and they prayed and Allah relieved them from this situation. He helped them find a way out of it. So explain more for us this idea so that we can tie that quite nicely with the concept of justice.
So many questions.
All in one session. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Inshallah, I start with the question that it was unanswered from the previous session, and it's related to this topic of philosophy of evils. We were talking about the justice and the question that whether Allah is just in creation or not. We said that the system of this life, this universe, is based on cause and effect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it says in Quran, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً كَلَمْحٍ مِلْبَصَرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created everything by one order.
By one order, yeah, yes.
How come? It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the cause, the first cause. And the first cause is the cause for the second cause, which is the effect for
and
the first.
And there's a whole chain of events.
There is a chain of causes, and everything takes place through this chain. This is very important to bear in mind. I mean, you know, the events that we see around us, what happens to us, these are usually people regard them to be
isolated incidents.
Isolated incidents and events that they were in their own self, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in some order. You know, imagine a number, for example, 7.
Yes.
What is 7? It is a number between 6 and 8.
8, exactly. I mean, you can't place it between 1 or 2 or 0.
This is
the point, yeah.
You can't put it between 3 and 2 and at the same time to say, okay, 7 is 7. If you change 7 from that place to be between 6 and, 8, to bring it somewhere else, if it is between 3 and 4, then it is not
7.
It's something else.
Yes.
So everything in its own place, in its own time, with the potentialities and those per se existence that it has, all include and in fact construct its own being. So everything in the life is like this.
Yes.
You know, the events in this life are not like those people who are in a line for the bus. You can bring the first person to the end. You can take one person from the middle to the end, or to be the first one. When people are in a chain, you can change the places.
Yes.
When the people are in a line, because it is not a real being.
No.
So, but about the numbers, you can't change the place of 7 to put it between any other numbers. Mm. Then it won't be 7.
Anymore. It has a fixed order.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
So there is an order in this life, and this order is in their essence. It is not something extra. This is very important.
This is in its essence.
So if a person lived, for example, a poet, for example, lived 300 years ago, that person in that time, at that place, with all these beings, is that person. You know, some people say, why I am poor? Why God didn't make me to be born in, for example, that rich family? If you were about to be born in that family from that father and mother, then it wasn't you. It was their son. It was their son that exists right now there in the family.
Yes.
Your being is like the 7. Your essential place is here. So if it was you, if it is you, it is you with this father and mother at this time, at this place, with this, being and all these attributes that you have today.
Interesting.
So, the order is essential. This is very important to know that everything has order, and this is through, when Allah wants to create things, Allah creates them through these chains, through
this
chains of causes. This is the way it comes.
Yeah, chain of causes.
So
they
have their own effect. For example, when some people are subject to some chemical elements, you see, they are most likely to have a disabled child. Okay. Because of the element in the father's body or in the mother's body.
Sure.
And when disabled child is born, this is because of the causes before. But unfortunately, because we cut this relation of causes and effects, we look at the effect itself And we can't justify it, say, oh, if God is just, why this is here? This is the mistake that we make. Imagine, for example, you see a person in a hospital, a sick person in a hospital, okay? And a doctor, a physician is curing the person.
Sure.
Another person is, repairing a carpet. Another person is rebuilding a house. Three people are doing three different things. What is the relationship here? When you look at these three different acts and actions, you see they are separated. There is no relationship.
There's no relationship.
But then you go, when you go back, you see there was a fire in a house, and this fire ruined some parts of the building. Okay, and at the same time, some of the furniture and this carpet was burned, was ruined, and there were some people who were injured. So the injured person is taken to the hospital, and doctor is curing, treating him.
Yes.
The carpet is taken to person to, repair. And someone is rebuilding the house. So there is one cause for these three different things.
Famous.
Because we don't know what was in the past, we don't know that cause, and we see these three different effects separately, we think that there is no relationship. This is one very simple example. Have it in mind that when we see different things in the life, you see, these are because of the causes that we don't pay attention or we ignore them. Mm-hmm. When it comes to evils, as you said, we have two, in fact, we classify evils in two categories.
Two categories.
Yeah, moral evils and natural evils.
Natural
evils usually are those evils that we see in the nature. For example, a person is sick or there is an earthquake and it kills people.
Or we're talking about diseases, for example. Spreading of plague or other things, yes.
But moral evils are those evils that is caused by man. For example, a person goes and kills a person or some country attack the other and they kill hundreds of people.
Yeah. For example, steal somebody's right or oppress somebody.
Yeah. All are called as moral evils.
Mm.
So according to what I mentioned, now when you look at the causes, this is very important. It solves many of the problems.
Yes.
You know, sometimes there are problems for people. It is because of what they have done themselves.
Mm.
You see?
Quite.
People have done things and they don't know. And now they are seeing the, bad effect, and they say, oh, if God is there, why he doesn't change the things?
Mm.
If a person is drunk and driving fast, and there is an accident for him or her, so what happens? Because of him, this is because of his own action.
Because he was drunk.
Because of their own action.
Yes.
And it is interesting when things like this happens, or a person drives fast, and
he doesn't take care of how he's going on the road and doesn't watch other people.
When the accident happens, they forget the person, and they all say, why God did this?
Yes.
For example, that person's father says, oh God, why didn't you save my child? The mother says the same thing.
Mm.
You know, they forget the one who is guilty.
Exactly.
And they all accuse God. All the blame is on God. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So you see, there are different things in our life that we do it. I was in Africa, some African countries. I don't want to mention the name.
No, that's okay.
Unfortunately, you know, these people, through these recent centuries, they have, in fact, this idea has been inculcated in their minds that if we are poor, if we are in bad condition, this is what God wants us to have. This is what we deserve. And God created us here in this way.
Cool.
And I told them, you have to struggle. You have to, be active. You have to do your best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some general rules in the creation. One of them is that Allah never changes fate and destiny of people except they do it themselves.
Right, Sheikh. Just hold on to that very, very important point, because that is one of the most important verses in the Holy Quran that you've just mentioned. But we'll explain more about this right after this short break. So please stay with us, viewers. We'll be right back. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain, and we are discussing with Sheikh Agha Mohammadi from the Holy Seminaries of Qum this very important point that you just raised there. And I like this verse a lot in the Quran. It says, Allah never changes a condition of a people until they change what is within themselves, which is very, very important for many issues in terms of, as you quite rightly say, to create our own destiny, to exercise our own will in terms of changing our circumstances. Please explain more.
For example, you see people go and they build very weak buildings. Mm.
And then an earthquake comes along. Earthquake,
yeah. Everything is ruined. People die and say, why God did? It is because of the sins. You know, they try to justify this. It's because people have committed sins.
That's
this is
right.
Their sins. And then someone asks, in such and such country, people are committing sins. So why there is no earthquake for them? And you don't have any rational idea to give them. And they are right. Mm. You know, right now in Japan, every day there are earthquakes and nothing happens to them.
That's
right. Because they have built strong buildings, good buildings.
Exactly, exactly.
So you see, sometimes we ascribe our shortcomings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But that's not true.
That's not true. That's not fair.
That's not fair. Absolutely.
That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Subhanallah amma yasifun illa ibadallahil mukhlaseen. Only the mukhlaseen, they can purify Allah in a right way. What is the right way? This is the right way. You know, sometimes by our tongue, we utter Subhanallah, God is pure. But in our daily life, we accuse of Allah of many shortcomings. When there is earthquake, God forgot those people. God punished these people. No, God doesn't want to punish people. They punish themselves.
Because they have made mistakes.
They were supposed to. You know, when you live in a place which is subject to have earthquake, you have to have strong buildings.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Common sense there. Very good, sir.
Yeah. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا مَعَشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا بَتْ لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ In Surah Ar-Rahman, I think all Muslim brothers and sisters know this verses. Says, if you want to go through the orbits, you know, this is one of the miraculous verses of Quran, referring to orbits of the sky at that time. Says, if you want to go through the orbits, go. You are permitted to go, but you can't do it without Sultan. Sultan, to translate it in an easy way, is technology. You can't do it without technology.
Thank you for
You want to do it? Do it, but you need technology. You want to live in such a building, but you need technology. You have to have strong buildings. You have to have good.
You have to have a strong method, strong way of being able to do that. That's right.
Good construction, so there is no harm. As we see it today, every day in Japan, there are earthquakes, and you see nothing happens.
Nothing happens to them.
So many of the evils that we see is man-made. Yes. We have done it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But as I told you, when we forget the cause, we put the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. And that's very interesting, because when you talk about being man-made, that answers, I think, about 99.9% of all the evils that occur in this world.
Yeah.
Because it is really due to ourselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of resurrection, on the day of the hereafter, when we go into this world of the angels, that it says quite clearly, man himself will be his own judge. He will say for himself that, it was me who was unjust. Yeah. Even before he faces his Lord, he himself will say, and he will say, please, if I have another chance to go back, I try to correct what I did wrong, the mistakes that I had made, which caused so many other effects. And as you say, because there are causes and effects, if we make one mistake, there's a whole chain reaction that takes place. And maybe that goes on for generations, maybe that goes on for centuries, and we still pay the price of somebody else's foolishness many centuries before.
Exactly. Mm. So sometimes we do it ourselves, or others do it to us.
Do it to us, yes.
Those people who have gone to, for example, Africa, they have exploited them. They have taken whatever they had.
Yeah.
They forget the exploiters.
Exploitation. Yeah.
And they forget their own role. They forget everything and say, God wants us to live in such a poor manner. No, God never wants it. God has given you ability to change it, and you have to change it yourself.
Exactly.
So, or for example, when someone has accident and a person dies, for example, instead of blaming, the driver, the careless driver, they accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the philosophies behind these evils is that, in fact, this is man-made. These are man-made.
Yes.
We have done it ourselves, or the other have done it, but we neglect it and we just put the blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It seems very convenient. Yeah. Let me put it that way. It seems very, very convenient because, of course, we never like to look into ourselves that in case, you know, as the prophets used to show, in case we see our own ugly face as to what the things that we do. But at the end of the day, it leads to the second question. And you quite beautifully and eloquently, I must admit, Sheikh, has very nicely clarified this idea. But if God is just, why do common people have this concept that why does evil then exist? Why did God place evil into the universe? Why would he do that?
Yeah, two points I mentioned to answer this question.
Yes, please.
And also, why evil is there? Sometimes it is our, you know, wrong judgment.
Mm.
It is not evil in itself.
Ah.
Or it is relative, you know.
It's a kind of relative evil.
Anything which is not to my own benefit, I say it is evil.
It is evil, yes.
You know, sometimes I tell to my students, if sheeps, if they were able to speak, and if you ask them what is the evil on the earth, they certainly told you that human being is the dangerous evil, because every day they kill us
and eat us.
Hundreds of thousands of are being killed by human being. So according to a sheep, human being is an evil.
Exactly.
Okay. But for example, when you see a snake, because we are afraid to be bitten by the snake, we say it's evil. But it is not evil in itself. It's a very excellent creation.
Mm.
So we judge things to our own benefit. Sometimes.
Exactly.
When it is not to my own benefit, so it's evil.
Mm.
This is, again, one of the problems that we have because of our mentality, you know.
Exactly. And this is all influenced by culture, perhaps even superstition and ignorance. Because
most important, selfishness. Because
good.
Man is selfish.
Mm.
And we think that I am the center of the world. Who is good? The one who is good
like
to me. Who is bad?
Like
the one who is bad to me.
The way it was made by philosophers in the past who made the mistake of putting the earth at the center of everything. it is quite right. This selfishness, this ego is really a problem. And this is also another aspect in terms of the philosophies of evil, that why we are told to exercise not to become selfish, but to become selfless so that we can better understand this, what we talk about, this relative evil, isn't it?
You know, the verse I recited, Subhanallah amma yasifun illa ibadallah al-mukhlasin. Mukhlas means the one who is selfless.
Selfless.
Those who are not selfish, so they don't judge things according to their own benefit.
No.
They have a better and a real understanding of the nature of the life and universe.
Yes.
So when they say Subhanallah, when they purify Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, this is the way that Allah is pleased with it. Means in a real manner.
Subhan.
They have accepted in the heart.
Mm.
So some of the evils that we see is according to our own benefit, with a wrong judgment or a kind of wrong evaluation of things.
According to selfishness.
And according to ignorance.
Yes, and ignorance as well.
For example, in the past, you know, the person who was fat, who was heavy, he was regarded to be healthy. And when a person was...
he's the most sick.
When a person was thick, they said, oh, there is a problem, there's a sickness with him.
Yeah.
But today is vice versa.
Yes.
You see, at that time, when a person was thick, he may regard himself to be a kind of, you know, sick or ill. But today, when a person is fat, they call it sickness, and they try to, I don't know, to go on diet and things like this.
Absolutely. I mean, now we're told the opposite. Now that was
the mentality has changed.
Yes. But it's because we know, our knowledge has improved now, that we understand that no, that kind of condition of the body is very, very harmful. So you need to exercise. You need to change your diet or something in order to have the normal form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally gave
to
man. So
the concept of evil and good changes.
Changes. Yeah. Thank you for that. Now, please explain for us, just in the last whatever minutes we have left, this philosophy of evils. I understood that there are about 12 points that you wanted to elaborate as far as the study of this subject is concerned. Please elaborate on what they are.
Another point that we must...
I'm just told we have 4 or 5 minutes, so 5 minutes. as quickly as you can.
So I try to wrap it up.
Yes, thank you.
Another point which is good to know is that we have two concepts of ajal mahtum and ajal mashrut.
I see.
Conditional time and, in fact, specific time, which is mentioned
in the Quran. Conditional time and specific time, right.
For example, in Surah An'am, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى.
Right. There is a...
Yeah. There are two ajal. There are two...
Two hasts or...
Kind of time for anything
Time frames.
Happen.
Time frames, as they say, yes. Yeah.
Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for a person to die at the age 80.
Right.
When a person, when that person reaches to this 80, he dies or she dies without any second delay.
Delay or early, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. At that exact
moment.
This is ajal al-musamma.
So this is the specific time frame.
Specific, which is unified, which is... Mentioned,
right.
The other one is conditional.
Right.
It means that this person might be subject to death at the age of 30, provided that he doesn't visit, you know, one of the things that we have in the Ahadith and Quran also, Salatul Rahim, to visit the relatives. We have this in narrations that it, in fact, removes many of the diseases, many of the badnesses, evils may happen to you.
I see.
So in order to, in fact, safeguard yourself of those evils, of those plights, we have been suggested to be kind to our relatives, to be kind to our parents. So, or to pay sadaqah, to pay alms. This is one of the things that...
Charity, yes,
yeah,
of course.
Charity. So when you do these things, they, in fact, remove this conditional death. So for a person, there might be one or two, or even none, of these conditional times, conditional ajal, which is ajal mashrut in Arabic, for the people. And it is upon them whether they behave in a right manner or not. If they do their duties, it can delay that accident or that even from death.
So in other words, you could end up having an extension just because you're doing the right sorts of things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it may be that that could be delayed.
Yeah, because this is again one of the very commonly asked questions that can we change the time of death or not? If this person, especially those who lose their relatives, their beloved ones, they at a young age, they have this question in their minds that really Allah wanted this person to die or not.
I see.
If is this Quran says لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون.
That's a very interesting
point. Is this that? So we tell them that we have two kinds of death or ajal, the specific one, which is, as I told you, for example, is at the age of 80, at the age of, I don't know, 100.
Yes, Allah has declared that, and that's that.
It is mentioned and declared.
Yes.
The other one is conditional. For example, this person will live till age 90, provided that he takes care of his health, never eats much fat and, I don't know, sugar and things like this.
Yes.
Otherwise, if the person is careless about his health, smokes and things like this, he may die earlier. It is conditional.
This is conditional.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think that more or less covers what we wanted to discuss in this particular session. I hope we'll have you for another session to elaborate more on these very, very common questions and very common ideas, because, of course, I think the key point that you hit on this particular session in terms of evil were two things. First of all, man-made, and it's all due to selfishness because of the fact that we have a skew, we are just looking, as you say, at evils in terms of, in inverted commas,
generally a wrong mentality.
A wrong mentality in terms of just our relative benefit, what we can gain in the short term. I think that can be said a lot about the New York Stock Exchange and about many other crises that we are facing throughout the world, because really that's what it's boiling down to because of this selfishness. But it just leaves me to thank you, Sheikh, for being on the program once again. Thank you very much for that valuable contribution. And it just leaves me to thank our viewers for watching today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for watching and goodbye.